Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. Amen. I know the kids are excited, the teachers are excited about having the week off. We have a Thanksgiving holiday coming up. And just FYI, we will not be meeting here on Wednesday. Please don't show up. Amen. If we could go to the first slide. I want to just share a little bit about what has happened with this new faith-based ministry, Disciples in Motion, over the last several weeks. Okay? You know, I want to thank God first and foremost. I want to thank the leadership team for their support and their love, and the brothers and sisters that were able to participate in Disciples in Motion this fall. What a journey, right? And right now, if I could just have all the facilitators just stand up. Amen. These brothers and sisters sacrificed a lot. And just to be honest, everyone sacrificed a lot because getting here at 8:30 a.m. for the last 8 weeks was a challenge. But I know that speaking to a lot of you, it was well worth it. Amen? You know, it was just so encouraging. And I want to thank the church for your prayers and your support. But we had a great time. And if you're a first-time visitor here today, you may be asking yourself, what is Disciples in Motion? I'm glad you asked. Okay? Disciples in Motion is a faith-based recovery program where people in need of change help people in need of change. Who needs changing? We all want to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Amen? Anyone may benefit from attending Disciples in Motion and need healing in every area of our lives. You know, who comes to Disciples in Motion? Anyone with anything that interferes with his or her relationship with God. Next slide. Those are just a few areas that we've addressed, and there are several more. There's a ton of areas that we could all point to that interferes with our relationship with God. And at the bottom it says, who says Jesus doesn't heal broken people? That's what Jesus does. We're all broken vessels. And Jesus is here to heal us. Next slide. And Jesus has done great miracles throughout the Bible. I mean, the 10 guys with leprosy, you know, the mute person, you know, he spit on people's eyes. He was very unique in the way that he did his healings. Sometimes people didn't understand how he did it, but they were grateful for it. Jesus is our great physician. Amen? And I'm going to have a few brothers, you know, shortly come up and share their lessons from Disciples in Motion as well. But if you would turn your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm reading in verse 24 and 25. Peter writes, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." And I just want to highlight that. Go back. You have been healed. All of us that says Jesus is Lord, we have been transformed and healed by the blood of Jesus. But guess what, church? It's an ongoing process. We're all in need of healing in some form or fashion. We never arrive until we see Jesus. We're constantly in need of healing from Jesus, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, spiritual. We're all in need of healing. Emotions also has a devotional time and connect group time where members can share their recovery journey in a safe and confidential and accepting environment. Now, see, that's the aspect of it that I love, that we could share in a safe and confidential environment. Because I think if you look at the world, there's really not a safe and confidential environment where you could really be honest about what you're dealing with and how to get help with it. Because truth be told, it's hard to trust. It's hard to trust God sometimes. And it's very, very hard to trust other people, to be vulnerable with other people. And a lot of us will not go to that space in our lives because there's fear when it comes to that, going to that space. But see, disciples in motions, you know, we have been able to create that environment. And I tell you, for me personally, the brothers in my group, and they know me, I was able to cry. I was able to share things that I hadn't shared in a while. And I felt loved. I didn't feel shamed. And it was just a wonderful experience. And through that all, through it all, we were able to connect with one another. And now these brothers in my connect group, we're like, okay, once a month, we're going to get together and continue this journey. Because God created us to have a relationship with him first and foremost, amen? And then with one another. But I do want to share about, you know, what lesson impacted me the most during the last several weeks. And I know that those that participated know what I was going through when I first walked through the door, the issue that I particularly thought I was needing to address. Can anybody take a guess? What is it?
Anger.
Okay. And, you know, to my shame, you know, when I was in the Stone Mountain ministry as a deacon, I was labeled as the angry deacon. And that was just not good. You know, one brother's laughing at me over here because he was in that ministry with me, but yeah. But that was not good to be labeled as an angry person. But God has a way of showing himself, you know, as we go through this journey with Disciples in Motion. I was thinking that that was my priority, to deal with my anger. But God's like, no, that's not what you came in here for. That's not the issue that you really need to address. And I thought that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Well, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and it was showing me an issue, another issue that I had laid, you know, it was underground. It was not exposed, you know, at all to anyone. And that issue was trust and fear. That's an issue that all of us will have to deal with or dealing with at one point or another in your life. The fear of not knowing and then trusting that God is with you. I mean, just, I was thinking about what Peter was saying this morning. It was just incredible to know that, you know, God is sovereign. He's sovereign, and as Psalms 139 says, he knows you. You see, over the last couple years, he has seen my fear. The fear of the unknown, you know, health issues with my wife, job issues, family issues. He has seen those fears. And he's like, Mike, you're not trusting me. You're not trusting me, but I'm going to get you to the point where you are going to trust me. Because you want to take matters into your own hand. And if anyone knows me, I'm a fix-it kind of guy. I'm going to fix it. I know the way to solve this problem. I'm going to fix it for you. But trust and fear. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 21 says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out for us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and kneeled before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she says. Even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. The first thing that sticks out to me in this is that Jesus ignored this woman. And I tell you what, I don't know if I would have pushed through. This woman was ignored after her first request. And he didn't say a word. And it would appear that he would continue to ignore her. Even his disciples came out and said, hey, just send her away. She's bugging you. You know, and sometimes in our lives, you know, when certain things just seems to bug us and not go away, or we just can't deal with situations, we ask God, we talk to God about it. And it's just silence. And we don't know whether God hears us or not sometimes, because there's no reply. But this woman just pushed through. She was persistent. And it almost seems as though Jesus was being rude. And he says to her, he can't take from the children and give to dogs. And basically, he was saying that, you know, the Jews were the chosen people and the Gentiles weren't. But he could probably offer some crumbs. Are we willing to settle for the crumbs? You know, are you grateful for what you have? We have this Thanksgiving holiday coming up, you know, just reflecting on what you're thankful for. And sometimes we can get caught up in what we don't have. But God has supplied all of our needs. All of our needs. You know, and sometimes we can be ungrateful because we have a sense of entitlement. I'm entitled to have this or have that. And that just gets in our way of our relationship with God. It could really get in our way. But this woman did not stop. The Bible says she kept crying out. And see, we can imitate her faith. Continue to cry out about whatever you're going through. I'm not sure if I would have had the same response as this woman. Because if I'm in a crowd like that, and then the disciple says, you know, send her away, I would have been embarrassed. My feelings would have been hurt. And me, knowing me, I would have walked away. I'm giving up. It's like, I tried. You know, and sometimes, you know, as Christians, we give up so easily. We just stop. We stop asking. And I mean, Peter put that scripture up, you know. If you lack wisdom, ask God. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be open. You know, the parable of the persistent widow, Luke 18. Keep on asking. Keep on praying. God is a God that does miracles in our lives. Amen. If we're persistent, if we're faithful, if we trust. But fear can get in your way. Especially if you've been in a situation where the same thing is happening over and over and over again. Whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with your children, whether it's at your job. You know, if you see the same results over and over and over again, you stop trying. And fear is the opposite of faith. How would you have responded to Jesus? And of course, all this happened so that Jesus could teach his disciples a lesson on faith, because they were lacking faith. But this had to be extremely hard for this woman. Had to be embarrassing. And my question to the church this morning is, what would it take to turn you away, to stop you from asking Jesus? So at this time, I'm going to share the mic with a good brother that I've built a relationship with over the last several weeks. So if I could have our brother Jose come on up.
Thank you so much for giving me this chance, this opportunity to share a little bit of the group. This group has been a very good group for me, especially. It's been a good group because it's a place where I can really be myself, where I can be real and not thinking of what this person would think or is going to think about me or what is going to say. And the reason for that is because we are all in the same, with the same issues. Not the same mission, but with the same problems in a way that we all need help. And knowing also that nothing can come out of that group, that's a great relief. That whatever you said stays in there and doesn't go anywhere. Believe me, I don't remember what the brothers have talked about. So that's a good thing. But one of the lessons that really helped me a lot was friendships, relationships. And for me, having relationships and building friendships is really hard. And what does it have to do with my recovery or with the recovery is that without that, I cannot get healed. I need people to believe that I can be different. I need people to believe that I can change. And the same way, I had to be that type of person for others, that they can be different, that they can change, that they can do great things for God. And the scripture that I want to share that really helped me and it has stuck with me, it's in Mark 2:4-5, it says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and when and then lower the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. And one thing that I see is that their friends did not give up on him. They believed what he could become, that he could get healed by having Jesus touch him. So to me, it's that's one of the things that I need to be. A friend that doesn't give up on people. A friend that doesn't give up on the group that I have. On the brothers that I share with in my Bible talk. And also, they can believe that I can be different. That they can change. So that's one thing that really has helped me, you know, to be that type of friend. How can I be one of the four that I can believe in my brothers, in the people that I have, and the people that I trying to help, not to give up on them. So with that one in mind, I want to thank you so much for that opportunity, for that chance. Thank you so much.
Good morning. All right. Prior to Disciples in Motion, I'm being a professional musician, I always get songs that I have to learn. So I was meditating day and night on this song called Make Room prior to Disciples in Motion. And some of the lyrics says, I will make room for you. I will prepare for two so you don't feel that you can't live. Please live in me. Then it goes down a list of things that needs to move over. And it says, my will, you can move that over. My way, you can move that over. My ego, you can move that over. My plans, my schedule, my itinerary, you can move all that over. So I'm listening to this song, and then Disciples in Motion came that that week, and the first thing that we talked about was just having some hallmarks to put in motion. And those things were walking with Jesus, working a program, engaging a mentor, and nurturing a dream. And I had been thinking a lot about making some changes, making more room for God, and had not done anything. And this helped me put in motion some things that I needed to do. And the first thing I wanted to talk about was week three. Week three dealt with brokenness and denial. I think I had to be broken in order to make room for God. Because I'm thinking, well, Melvin Jordan's okay. He's doing all right. But I was pretty much just stagnant. I wasn't growing. And every week I was taken back to the week, to the time I studied the Bible. I was excited. I was growing spiritually. And I thought things were really moving. Then all of a sudden I was just flatlining. And brokenness helped me to see my need for God. Just the statement it said, brokenness is a state before God which you become humble. Surrender and acknowledge what God already knows to be true. You cannot change without him. God is the originator and sustainer of change. A broken spirit is his open door to move you forward in your recovery. And that's what I needed, to open the door for him to help me. And also, one of the biggest things, too, was our connect groups. I think we already alluded to that. Our connect group was a safe place for us to talk and hold each other accountable as well. I didn't want to show up on Sunday and not have done some homework or move forward with some of the things I was struggling with. I didn't want to tell my guys that. More importantly, I didn't want to tell God that I was struggling still. And so connect group was a great place. Mike set a great standard. First day, he was wide open with what he struggled with. And I said, oh, okay. I can do this as well. Just being open and having somebody to be accountable to. So great group. I thoroughly encourage this for anybody who has not went through it, the rest of the church. Thank you.
Amen. Such inspiration and a lot of courage from our brothers and sisters that were going through Disciples in Motion. And I'm just so inspired by all of you. I mean, I was praying constantly, thinking about you guys, trying to imitate your faith, your love, the way that you push through. To support one another, to encourage one another. We will be doing this again come spring. If you have not, been a part of Disciples in Motion, I want to encourage you to really consider being a part of it. It's very, very inspiring. As Melvin said, it takes a lot of humility and being vulnerable. And a lot of us hadn't been in that space. It's been years since we've said, you know what? Let me get real with who I am and what I'm dealing with someone. The Bible says, and everyone has gone through or going through their trials. The Bible talks about in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, as you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. My ultimate goal, I want to be mature in Christ. the elders, the leadership is here to help us to mature in Christ. But at the end of the day, you know whose responsibility that is? It's my responsibility to be mature in Christ. And that's through my Bible studies, through prayer, through connecting with other brothers, and just being honest about what's going on. This is the time of year where, you know, we could all kind of be in our own little places and spaces with families and friends, traveling, being around people that we typically aren't around. And this is the time to really, you know, tighten up our relationship with God. Because we don't want 2020 to come in and we find ourselves in a space where we're like, what happened to my relationship with God? What happened with my connection with the brothers and sisters in Christ? I want to close with this scripture. In Isaiah 57. And this is God talking to the Israelites. And it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and exalted one says. For he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I will not accuse them forever, nor will I always be angry, for then they would faint away because of me, the very people I created. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. And I, you know, God is amazing. God is saying, in spite of our ways, in spite of my ways, in spite of your ways, I am going to heal you. And if you look hard, if you pray, if you look at the scriptures, you can experience that healing. You can experience that healing daily. You know, he says that he wants to restore comfort. And by doing so, praise will be on our lips. We won't have time to be doing anything else but praising God just for the small things. Thanking God for our moms, for our dads, for our spouses, for our jobs. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, you know, pray continuously. Thank God in all circumstances, for this is your will in Christ Jesus. And I know some of us have some very, very challenging situations going on. But God has equipped you and shown you how to get through it. And he's provided brothers and sisters in our lives to help us, to pray for us, to pray with us. And so I just want to close by saying thank you again for your support and love for Disciples in Motion. We will get this started again. It's probably going to be the last week of February. We'll start signing up come January. But this is a journey that you'll never forget. And I thank God for the brothers and sisters that have already come up to me that was in the fall session saying, I will be back in the spring. Brothers and sisters, let's have an incredible Thanksgiving holiday, and may God be the glory.